You are listening to Shining a Light on Memory Loss, 30 powerful minutes aimed at helping you and your family better understand a topic that touches everyone in our community in some way. Shining a Light on Memory Loss is sponsored by the Benson Area Memory Loss Network.
Hello and welcome. This is Laura Thomas. I'm a member of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network and your host for this show. In our last episode, we heard from Swift County Sheriff John Holtz, who had many wonderful suggestions about starting difficult conversations with family members or close friends. And then from Emily Castaneda, who talked about Prairie Five rides, public transportation, and why deciding to stop driving doesn't have to mean a loss of independence. If you missed it, all episodes can be found at bensonradio.com/memory loss after they air. Today, we are excited to welcome Dawn Daly, Library Director at the Douglas County Library in Alexandria and creator of the Memory Loss Resource Center in the Benson Public Library. But first, we will hear from Ann Kofel, who is a lawyer and the Deputy Director of Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid. Ann, thank you for joining us today. Can you please tell us about Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid and the services that are offered?
I'd be happy to do that, Laura. Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid provides free legal representation to low-income people and to senior citizens. And senior citizens are people over age 60, and we can be more flexible with income for senior citizens. So I certainly urge people over 60 to call our office if they have a civil legal problem. Seniors sometimes are facing issues regarding Medicare or medical coverage for conditions that they have, and we could try to provide help with that. And we do also provide help to seniors who are starting to plan ahead for who's going to make the medical decisions for them, or do they need a power of attorney. So all of those are examples of cases that we handle. If you have a question, do I have a legal problem, or is this something that legal aid handles, you can call the office, and I'll probably give this number a couple of times, but it's 320-235-9600 is the number for our office in Willmar. I should also add that the Willmar office serves 10 counties. Every county in Minnesota is served by a legal aid office, and each of those offices do help seniors and other low-income people.
Well, gosh, Ann, you ran through quite a list of different areas that legal aid is able to assist seniors with. And one of the things that caught my attention was you said you can help with power of attorney forms. And so from a legal perspective, what does planning for end of life include?
Planning for end of life is really important for everybody. It just gets a little more real for all of us as we get older because we see what's happening down the horizon. Mm. But, to be honest, people experience strokes or heart attacks much earlier than 60. And so planning ahead is really good for any adult. And planning ahead covers really two things. One is planning ahead to handle your financial and property issues. And the other is planning ahead to address medical decision-making. And planning ahead related to property or financial issues is dealt with through a power of attorney. And planning ahead for health issues or questions is handled through what's called a health care directive. Or in the past, it used to be called a living will. So those are the two documents that people really should be thinking about and preparing as they think ahead to not just their death, but what happens as their powers may diminish or if they were to become incapacitated.
It sounds like you said this is something for maybe anybody who's over the age of 18 to kind of think about and take care of. And why is it so important to have the documents in place sooner rather than later?
It's really important for a couple of reasons. Probably the main one, the one that kind of tugs at my heart, is to make it easier for my family around me. If I were to become incapacitated before I had a power of attorney, my family would need to get a guardianship. Because once I become incapacitated, and by that I mean not being competent, not being able to understand and make decisions, then it's too late to get a power of attorney. Because to sign the power of attorney form, you need to understand what you're signing. So unfortunately, we sometimes get calls from people saying, my dad now has dementia and we want him to sign a power of attorney. You know, we'll ask questions and we'll meet with the dad in that case, in that example. But if he does not understand our meeting, we're going to say a power of attorney is not going to work. And then the family is going to need to get a guardianship or conservatorship, which involves going to court. So that's much more work and can be expensive or can cost some money to do that. And with healthcare directives, for anybody who's been involved in having to decide medical issues or when to stop life support or how to handle a serious illness, it's a hard thing to do. But if somebody has done a health care directive, that means they've already written down what their wishes are. You know, if they have a stroke and do they want and can't breathe, do they want to be on a machine to help them breathe would be an example. If their heart stops, do they want to be resuscitated? All those are things that are really difficult decisions for family to make in any case, but they become much easier if there's a health care directive. It can also help to resolve conflicts between family members. If some of the kids are having a hard time with this, so they do want life continuing measures and others are saying, no, mom wouldn't want this. That's going to resolve the conflict because there's going to be a statement as to the parent's wishes and there's going to be somebody appointed to make those decisions. So in that case, it really does make it much easier for the family to make those decisions. And in addition, it also means that the person who's doing the healthcare directive can be assured that their wishes are going to be followed and that they won't be put on a machine if they don't want that, or that a machine might be appropriate if that is what they do want. The one caution is that doctors, if they in good conscience don't believe in doing what the healthcare directive requests, they can refuse to do whatever action is requested. But then the person needs to have the right, or their agent, the person who has their power, has the right to move them to a different place, which will follow the health care directive.
Harris Health Rice Hospice understands how important it is for a hospice patient to live with comfort and dignity. Through skilled nursing care, counseling, support, and education, we help patients and families live each day with meaning and purpose. Programs like We Honor Veterans, Sentimental Journey, Pet Therapy, Massage Therapy, and Music Services can help add life to days. Harris Health Rice Hospice serves a 15-county area and has a satellite office in Benson. Visit harrishealth.com/hospice.
Prairie 5 Community Action Council provides aging services to Swift County. We have Alzheimer's Association and AARP community educators for memory loss presentations and written resources. We offer caregiver consultations, Medicare counseling, a tablet lending library, and user services. If you have questions or concerns on aging, don't hesitate to call me, Laura Thomas, at 320-226-8861. Service is funded in part by a grant from the Southwest Initiative Foundation.
My name is Shelley Versable with Lutheran Social Service. Caregivers who are caring for someone 60 years of age or older, certified caregiver coaches provide personal caregiver coaching and counseling, help with referrals, education, trainings, emergency care planning, caregiver support groups, grief and loss discussion groups, and regular phone call check-ins. Please consider teaming up with LSS to become a community volunteer today. Your local coordinator phone number is 507-829-3298 and visit our website at lssmn.org.
If you're considering home health care services to assist with personal care, household cleaning, or home nursing, or want to transition into assisted living and don't know where to begin, contact Swift County Human Services to set up a MnChoices assessment. The MnChoices assessment can help determine the services you may be eligible for, assist with access to those services, and identify public programs that might cover those costs. It can also identify other options if you don't qualify for publicly funded programs. To see if you're eligible, call Swift County Human Services at 843-3160.
Scandi Haven Village, located in Benson, provides a safe and comfortable living environment for anyone needing specialized memory care services. Our memory care unit offers safe and secure apartments, along with the central dining, living room common areas, and daily activities. Scandi Haven Village has a caring, supportive, and well-trained staff to provide your loved ones with the care they need. For more information or to have a tour, please call Jane Tilkey at 320-843-4728. Scandi Haven Village. Caring for those who cared for us.
And after these two documents are completed, who should I distribute those to? And is it okay to distribute copies of the documents?
For the most part, copies work. For the healthcare directive, you want to make sure that your doctor has a copy of it, that your local hospital has a copy of it. If you go to a clinic, the clinic has a copy. They don't need the original. You'll want to make sure that the person who you're giving the power of to make healthcare decisions, that they have a copy of it. And the original you can keep with your important papers so that if somebody wants to see an original, make sure that your family knows how to get to it, but that they would be able to show that to somebody if they need it. For the power of attorney, again, for the most part, copies work. You should give a copy to your bank if you're giving somebody that authority. The one exception that I'm aware of is that if you're giving the power of attorney the power to transfer property, then you need, and property is transferred, an original copy, so with the actual signature on it, of the power of attorney will need to be filed with the county recorder's office. So that is the one time when for sure you're going to need a copy of the original. And I know that, like with my mom, when she signed her power of attorney, she signed a few of them so that we do have a few originals in case somebody actually needs to have the original of the power of attorney.
And let's move on now to probate. What is probate and is it necessary?
So probate is what happens after somebody dies. It's always after somebody dies. And then property is divided among family members. And a will can be probated, or if there is no will and there's property to be distributed, then probate will also be needed. So it really doesn't depend on whether there's a will or not. It mostly depends on what plans family members have made ahead of time. So oftentimes there can be a bank account can be a pay on death account so that somebody dies, it automatically transfers who's ever designated in the pay on death account. The property, if you want to plan ahead, you can do a transfer on death deed so that at when you die, it can automatically transfer to whomever you have designated. Now that will work pretty well for a family where there's maybe one or two children, but if you have a large family, the transfer on death deed is going to, that means your heirs are going to have to figure out how to divide that property seven ways if you've included all of them. So that I would suggest if you have a large number of heirs that you be sure and talk to an attorney as you do that planning. You would need an attorney to help with the transfer on death deed in any case, but that can help avoid probate. Also, if you have a small estate and you have an account that is, say, $30,000, you don't need to probate that. You can do what's called an affidavit of survivorship so that small amounts can be collected to the estate without having to probate the entire estate. For example, if one spouse owns property in joint tenancy with the other, usually the homestead is held like that. Again, that property will transfer automatically and won't need to go through probate. But if you own real estate that doesn't transfer at death, then that's going to need to go through probate in order to get good title to the property so that it can be sold, so that ownership is clear at the county recorder's office. It really is important if you have real estate or you have a decent amount of assets to talk to a lawyer oftentimes is it will cost to talk to a lawyer to help with estate planning. That is not something that legal aid does, but it's worth the investment because you may be able to avoid probate or at least have your estate set up in a way that you can be sure it's going to be divided in the way that you want. Some maybe having your estate go part of it to charity or go to particular kids that you have that have are in more need or have been more helpful. And all of that is something you really need a lawyer for to make sure that it is done in the way that you want.
So you mentioned a will. Is preparing a will something that legal aid can assist with?
So we don't usually help with wills, again, because oftentimes our clients actually don't need wills because they have small estates and we can talk to them about how to handle the small estate. And in those cases, we do have some volunteer lawyers that we will ask. If somebody is low income and needs a will for some reason, we would ask one of the volunteer lawyers. But usually what we would do would be to talk to the person and find out a little bit about them and either point them in the direction of a private attorney, or we would explain to them why we think they may not need a will.
I am speaking with Ann Kofel, Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid Deputy Director. And Ann, maybe you could share the phone number where people can call with questions about things that they've heard today or other legal concerns that they may have. Maybe you could share that number with us again.
Yep, the number to reach legal aid is 320-235-9600.
Now, in the Prairie 5 Community Action Council office in Benson, there is a legal aid kiosk. Maybe you could share a little bit about what that is and what it's for.
The kiosks are something that we began during the COVID pandemic because it was harder for people to meet face-to-face and it was harder to get the information that people need. So actually, I think in pretty much all of the Prairie 5 offices, there are kiosks. Some of the kiosks allow you to get legal fact sheets and legal information right at your fingertips. And so you can go to the office, and if you want more information about a power of attorney, you can go there, get on the kiosk, enter the keywords power of attorney, and you will get a fact sheet about powers of attorney that can be helpful to you. You might even be able to get a sample one. So part of the kiosk is to allow to get legal information quickly. You can also set up an appointment, you know, use the kiosk to try to set up an appointment with legal aid. You can enter your information and then you'll get a call back from legal aid about the help that you're asking for. And then, Laura, you're going to have to remind me. I know that one of the Prairie 5 kiosks also has a more interactive feature. I'm thinking that's the one at Montevideo.
That's correct.
Right. And so the kiosk at Montevideo would actually allow you to go to the Montevideo office and I could be talking to you face-to-face because it has a video component. So we're able to talk to each other face-to-face and can actually send documents to a printer that's located at that kiosk. And we could, if you had a hearing that you needed to attend, you could actually attend the hearing through that kiosk. So that kiosk takes a little more space, but it also has some additional functions that can be available to people.
Boy, are we lucky to have those kiosks available and right here in town. And is there anything else that you would like the listeners to know?
So I think the main thing is feel free to call. We don't have enough staff to serve everybody. But the worst that's going to happen is you might get a referral to somebody who can help or to another service that might be available. And of course, hopefully you'll get to talk to a lawyer or a paralegal about your issue, and you'll end up with information that's going to be helpful to you and to your family as you address the conflicting issues and the problems that are part of our everyday life now.
And thank you so much for taking the time to share this wonderful information about planning ahead and what that entails with our listeners today. We sure do. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Laura. I really appreciate the chance to talk to people and share the good work that legal aid and that I as a legal aid lawyer get to do.
Ann Kofel, the Deputy Director of Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid, is a true advocate for older adults in our region, and we were so lucky that she took the time to share with us today. When we return, we will learn more about the treasure trove of memory loss resources located right here in Benson.
I'm Michelle Sonnabin, a member of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network, and I'm the discharge planner at Benson Hospital. Discharge planning is a service to help you arrange supplies, equipment, and services before you leave the hospital. If you or someone you care about are having problems with memory loss, we encourage you to see your provider at Swift County Benson Health Services. If you are looking for resources in our community on how to care for someone with memory loss, contact Michelle Sonnabin at the Swift County Benson Hospital, 843-1377.
Hi, my name is Lindsay, and I'm an RN for Divine Home Care. As a whole, home care workers provide a vital role in helping people with memory loss to remain as independent as possible, enabling them to stay in their familiar surroundings with their family and caregivers. Regardless of why your loved one is experiencing memory loss, we're here to help. We offer a variety of services to provide support to caregivers, families, and those experiencing memory loss. For more information, please contact Divine Home Care at 843-9178 or online at divinehomecare.com.
This is Betty Christensen from the Minnesota River Area Agency on Aging. We are happy to be members of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network. Our office assists communities to develop services to help older adults remain in their own home as long as possible. More information can be found by calling our office at 507-387-1256 or on our website at mnraaa.org.
Hi, this is Maggie from Countryside Public Health, where our mission is to facilitate a safe and healthy future for the residents of the counties we serve. I'm glad you're taking this opportunity to learn about dementia as we strive together to improve our understanding of each other and make our community stronger and more supportive of people struggling with memory loss, as well as their caregivers, friends, and families.
Welcome back to Shining a Light on Memory Loss. Dawn Daly is the library director at Douglas County Library in Alexandria, and she was the driving force behind the creation of the Memory Loss Resource Center in the Benson Public Library. Dawn, thank you for joining us today. How did you put together the Memory Loss Resource Center in the Benson Public Library, and why was this an important project to you?
Well, Laura, thank you first off for having me and asking me to be part of this. This is very exciting. Just jumping right into your question, I put this together. I was at a conference a few years ago, a library conference, and they were showing kits similar to these kits that are at the Benson Library, but they were focused more towards like nursing homes and group settings. So I liked that. I really, really liked it. But I thought, I want to do something for the individual.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I downsized it, you could say. So instead of having 10 items of the same item, I only have one. So let's just take one of the kits that are there. Let's say it's the farming kit. Instead of having 10 tractors so everybody has a tractor, mm-hmm. I just have one and I can work with my loved one one-on-one instead of as a group.
So, Dawn, maybe you could give us more information about what a memory loss kit is and
sure.
what a person would do with it once they had it checked out.
So let's just take the farming one, for example, that I had just mentioned. So in that kit is things that are associated with farming. Each kit is labeled, let's say. So it could be there's kits for men, kits for women, you know, general kits, maybe like a cat or a dog or things like that. But let's take the farming one, since we mentioned that. And in that kit, there will be things related to farming. So you'll have some tractors and some grain bins and hay racks and things like that. And there may be bags of corn and wheat and beans. So you have the grains in there. Then, what farmer didn't have a pair of yellow gloves?
Hmm.
They had a pair in the truck, they had a pair in the tractor, they had a pair in their back pocket, in this coat, that coat. So, things that are associated with farming. And so, my goal is to, when you bring these kits out and you bring all these things out, and you're working with your loved one, it will spark a memory of back when they were on the farm,
when they were a farmer. Mm. And that yellow glove could be all that it takes to spark that memory. You know, oh, I remember I had these gloves and the right hand always wore out because I'm right-handed. Mm. So I used it on, you know, I used my left-handed glove on the right hand and got double use out of it. I used the backside of that glove. You know, things like that, so that they would feel they're part of the conversation and something that would spark a memory that hopefully would lead to another story of farming.
Wow, what a wonderful resource and a wonderful idea for creating communication opportunities. Sometimes I think it's, you know, we have maybe some limited topics that we're able to talk about or questions that we know our loved one understands. But introducing a kit like this that could really wake up some of those memories from
right.
childhood or memories from the past.
I don't claim to be an expert by any means, but I think when you're using this kit, it's focusing on them and what they like or what they were involved in.
Dawn, one of the kits I remember taking a look at, the theme was quilting. And
yeah.
I have an older family member who's was really into quilting when they were younger. And I thought, oh my gosh, the fabric samples, the thimble, the spools of thread, I know that that would generate a lot of wonderful reminiscing.
And that is just one more example. So it could be, it doesn't have to be just the farming. It can be the quilting. It could be as simple as flowers. You know, if you have a grandma that had a garden and she loved her flowers or just had pots of flowers outside. So we have a bouquet of flowers in there, you know, fake flowers. There's a packet of seeds, a little hoe, a little rake. Again, some gardening gloves. And we put like a girly's catalog in there. So they could go in and look at the different plants and the seeds and talk about, you know, the big tomatoes they used to grow in their garden, even though it's not flowers, but it's, you know, in there are flowers. And, oh, it leads us into vegetables, which could spark another conversation, and it could go from there.
So besides the memory kits, are there other resources that folks can check out to use with a loved one?
Yes, there are some picture cards. And these picture cards are just, I believe there's black and white and there's colored also. And it could be a family picnic. And that could spark a conversation just from a picture. And there are some questions on the back of these cards that you could ask your loved one. Do you remember going on a picnic? Did you and grandma ever go on a picnic? Where did you go? You know, so it could, it's those open-ended questions. There's no right or wrong answer to it. And that's the beauty of this. There is no right or wrong. It's conversation. It's getting them talking, getting them feel like they're part of the conversation and part of the group and living.
Conversation, which ultimately is connection. And that is that can be a real special time.
Absolutely.
So, Dawn, when we talk about these wonderful resources that we have locally, who are they available to? Who can check these out?
They are available to anybody in the community. And the great thing is they don't cost anything. All you have to do is visit your local library, get a library card, which is also free. They check them out to you for, I believe it's 3 weeks that you have it there in Benson. Take it home, use it, bring it back if it doesn't work. There's more. There's always another kit that you can use. But absolutely, everything is free. And there's something that's not there and you're interested in. A couple of years ago, I started a memory loss resource center here at the Douglas County Library because we didn't have one here either. And so I started here. So just know that you can borrow these kits just because you're in the Pioneerland library system. You can borrow things from outside of your library system. So you could certainly borrow our things, and we can borrow from you.
So,
but
Dawn,
all you need is that library card.
In addition to the conversation cards and the memory kits, and there are there's such a wonderful selection of books about memory loss as well, Are there other resources in the library in which you work that folks may be interested in checking out through that interlibrary system?
Yes, through the interlibrary loan, we call it. We have DVDs here, we have CDs, we have some of the old radio shows that people may be interested in listening to. We also have CD players that we loan out, so people who may not have a CD player could check out the CD player and those CDs to listen to. We have portable DVD players that we would borrow out also, and many, many resources, many kits, and we have puzzles here. We have activity kits. It may be just fidget things. You know, we have a fidget board. We have the spinners. Simple, when I say puzzles, people think that it's a 1,000-piece puzzle. It is not. It's like a 24, 36-piece puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so many wonderful resources, which lead to so many wonderful opportunities for connecting and maybe even learning a little bit more, maybe hearing a story or two that is new to you. We certainly are lucky to have this Memory Loss Resource Center, Dawn, that you created right here in the Benson Public Library. And as you said, with the library card, we are able to access all of those resources that you mentioned throughout the library system in Minnesota.
Absolutely, yes. And so if you don't have a library card, stop in at your local library today and get one.
Well, Dawn, thank you so much for joining us today. We sure do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I love talking about the memory loss resources.
The Benson Area Memory Loss Network would like to extend another thank you to our guests today for taking the time to share their expertise with us. We are lucky to live in a community with so many memory loss resources and experts. In case you've missed hearing from one of them on previous episodes, you can always listen to all previously aired episodes, and they can be found at bensonradio.com/memory loss. In our next episode, we will learn more about local resources, including Scandy Haven Village and the Alzheimer's Association. Please join us right here on 93.5 FM KSCR.
The Benson Area Memory Loss Network thanks you for joining us today. Please reach out to any member with questions, concerns, or for more information. You may also call the Alzheimer's Association at 800-272-3900. This line is answered 24/7 by a master's level clinician.